Thinking about the people in this floating world, far into the night. My sleeve is wet with tears. Let's call this this and that. There is a place in Colorado called Rocky Flats. And on these flats there is a factory that is concerned with nuclear weaponry. This one factory prepares all of the mechanisms that are involved with triggering all of the new nuclear weapons. And it also prepares the material that has a decay period for substituting in the old nuclear weapons to make them current. In other words, this one factory is connected with all the nuclear weapons, present and past, that are connected with this country. There is one railway track, one railroad track that comes out of Rocky Flats nuclear power plant. It is used by a train which brings in supplies and then it takes out the waste. If the waste isn't taken out, the plant, just like your intestinal system, stops. So it's very critical that this train take the waste out. It's part of the health of this plant that makes nuclear weapons. Allen Ginsberg is a poet and minstrel, and he's also a meditator with Mahayana Buddhist tradition. And he found himself sitting in meditation on the railway track at the Rocky Flats installation. Thus stopping the train from taking the waste out of the plant. When I told this story to Daniel Ellsberg, who is an anti-nuclear activist, he said, "You see, it's not only important that you sit, it's important where you sit." Which led me to wonder, some of you come here to sit in order to be left alone. Some of you come here to sit in order to be with others who are sitting. Both eminently good reasons for sitting here rather than there. Is sitting on the railroad track any different than sitting on the Zafu in the meditation hall? Very. Daniel Ellsberg says it is. He says it's more important that you sit on the railway track. But I wonder. Important to what? Important to the preservation of this earth. That's a goodly motive. Ah, so, poor earth. Bye-bye. Dreams, spheres, spheroid in dream sky. Dan says to me, I don't like to hear you talking that way. Because I'm afraid you won't act to help us in time. In time. You're right. I won't help you in time. Dan said, you must act. You're intellectually, you see the risk that we are taking. You must act to help wake people up to this absurdity that they would annihilate themselves in order to be right. But all my life I thought what I should do, and then I tried to do what I thought I should do. And somewhere along the way, I heard the message, I'm tired of being shit upon. Which I was told today is the same as, I'm going to stop masturbating. Shoulds, musts, oughts. Daniel, you're just like my mother. If I go to that nuclear protest, because I ought to, somebody's going to pay. In fact, we're all going to pay. Now let me juxtapose another story. Last winter I was taking the winter. I usually spend some months following, pursuing some slight alteration, different kind of sadhana. This particular one I was pursuing the sadhana of being neurotic in San Francisco. And being involved in relationships. And in psychotherapy. And I was being Dick Alpert. But I had made one error. Earlier in the year, I had been best man at somebody's wedding, Danny and Tara Goldman's wedding. And later, when talking to the minister of the church, he said, would you like to speak here in Marin County for blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm tired of speaking, no. I said, but you know, nobody ever invites me to give a sermon. He said, be my guest. So we had agreed on a date, which I promptly forgot since it was about 6 months away, and it turned out to be right in the middle of my neurotic period. Now, in my neurotic period, I am Dick Alpert, the neurotic, not Ram Dass, the great oracular mystic. And Dick Alpert does various nefarious things during the dark hours of the moon. And I found myself, having been reminded at the last moment, on a Sunday morning, having been up all Saturday night, carousing under this and that, I found myself driving across the Golden Gate Bridge to this church to deliver a sermon. And I looked around in the car, and Ram Dass was nowhere in sight. In fact, I couldn't even remember any of his routines to imitate them, which is something I often do. And I was furious with myself for having gotten myself into this predicament. Well, I arrived at the church, and it turned out it was Peace Day. And there were a number of Buddhist monks who were walking from San Diego to Seattle. And then we're going to meet at the United Nations later on. And they had their Doves of Peace and their entourage, and they were there first at the church. And by the time they had finished their ceremony and gone walking off, and we started the regular service, they had cooled me out enough, and so Ram Dass was back. I mean, it's good contact high. Recentered. So the sermons went on, and I had to give two, the early mass and the late mass, or whatever they're called. Now, at the end, I was feeling very tired. And my model was that I was going home to bed. And I had to weave through a lot of people to my car, but my model was strongly in mind. Thank you, yes, ha, yes, ooh, ha, hoo, ha, hoo. I'm going to bed. And as I approached the door, a woman said to me, "You know, the Buddhist monks are marching across the Golden Gate Bridge today for peace. We're all going with them. Won't you join us?" Now, at moments like that, I turn the tape on. At moments like that, I stoop to level. See, what I do is I say something like, "Well, I'd really love to, but you..." Which means, I am so busy doing good, how could you have even presumed to assume that I had the free time to do that good, because I'm doing the already 10 tons of good, which leaves the person guilty for having even asked you if you play it right. Oh, yes, I understand. And I left, and I got in the car, feeling deceitful but determined. And I started to drive back to San Francisco. I got to the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a beautiful sunny day. All the sailboats were out in the harbor, flashing in the sunlight. San Francisco was this beautiful white city on the hill. People were jogging and bicycling. It was Sunday afternoon. And I thought to myself, gee, you know, I've never walked across the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? No, I'm going to bed. Gee, I could walk across the Golden Gate Bridge and enjoy all this beauty and do it for peace. Could kill all these birds with one stone. No, I'm going to bed. By the time I got back to the apartment, I wasn't sleepy. I went in, I washed my face, got in the car, and I drove back across the bridge, parked, and joined the several thousand other people walking across the bridge. Another bit of light in the totality of light. And there was a place halfway across the bridge where the beauty of the moment and the people I was walking with. And we were waving at the cars and they were blowing their horns. The quality of love that was present at that moment. And I felt that feeling that I know you've all touched, the feeling of I am in exactly the right place at the right moment in the universe. It's like you run the cards of your planes of consciousness and every one of them checks out. You're right in the right place, as God at play, as, you know, as achiever Richard Alpert, as psychophysical organism, you know, every plane you can think of. Soul on the make, whatever. They all felt just right on. And I sense how much more frequently now my acts have that feeling about them, a sense of what I would call intuitive rightness. And I found myself at a number of other anti-nuclear rallies, same sort of way. And I'd meet Dan Ellsberg, and I'd say, see Dan, I'm here. And I was merely here because you're here. It was in the way of things. It had an intuitive sense of rightness. It was the meditative space of listening, of hearing, not even listening, of being so in tune with the universe that you can sense how your every act, your walking meditation, is interwoven with every other form. And the quality of the way in which you walk is your participation in the totality. And when you trust the moment, you hear how all the things you are and have been and were and could be are all part of this moment, and then you do what you do next. And you start to trust it, needing fewer and fewer models of where you think you're going, how you think it comes out, who you think you are doing what. I'm not an anti-nuclear activist. It's just I happen to show up at these places. Nice place to sit. Does it matter that you're here at Barry? Does it matter? Is this the big opportunity? The big confrontation? Which drama have you juiced up? Or do you just happen to be at Barry sitting? Nothing else to do. That's just one, too. I went to Kalu Rinpoche. I studied with him a little, and then I was sitting before him, and I said, Rinpoche, what is it I have to do this lifetime? He said, you have three things to do. You must honor your guru, deepen your compassion, deepen your emptiness. It's pretty simple. Compassion has something to do with seeing the interrelatedness of you and everything else, seeing how you are one with all the forms of the universe. Every 45 seconds, some baby is dying of malnutrition in this world. Is she them? Or us, or me. keep my heart open to the suffering of the world and still sit at Barry? If I keep my heart open to the suffering of the world, is the best thing to do to sit at Barry? Does it matter? What am I offering? Confusion of mind? Closeness of heart? How can I take a step when all I will do is increase everyone's suffering? How can you be in form and not take a step? Isn't your not step a step? Which step won't you take? There is no way to be an incarnate and not be involved in action. Everything's changing, forms change. So your every action has something to do with that baby every 45 seconds. We are all just one breath away from each other. Somebody calls me and says, there's going to be an anti-nuclear rally Tuesday night. Will you go? And I say, no, I'm playing string quartet that night. And I hear the tightness on the other end of the telephone line. How presumptuous. How insensitive. How unfrightened. Are you saying that playing quartet is the same as appearing at an anti-nuclear rally? You have the chutzpah to say a thing like that? If I don't, we end up doing it for reasons that just proliferate exactly the root of the problem that we're, the source of the suffering that we are trying to alleviate. Isn't sitting here month after month the optimum thing you can do to relieve the suffering of all beings? Well, actually, only you know. And it changes from moment to moment. Maybe you run out of money. Then it won't be the optimum thing for you to do. Then the optimum thing for you to do will be to go out and earn some money. I get on a bus on Third Avenue, and the bus driver, just in the way he maneuvers the bus and in the way he deals with the passengers, brings a quality of joy and grace into everybody's life. Buddha as bus driver on Third Avenue. No, I don't think it's better that you're here than you're there. I don't think it's better that you're there than you're here. Finally, we listen. We listen our way into the harmony of things. We resonate intuitively with the deepest part of our being, and we just do what we do. And we deepen. We contribute to the way of things. I am thrilled that Barry exists, Steve. I am. I wish there were 10,000 of them. Because I know it doesn't really matter. It's a game within a game, within a game, within a game, within a game. Express your love towards all the forms of the universe, seeing them all as the face of the beloved. How do you fully appreciate the movement of your beloved? Quiet your mind. You can never appreciate your beloved, but you can be your beloved. You can be pure awareness that is in everything, but is of nothing. Marching in protest, sitting at Barry. Ah, so. Ah, so. It's a throwaway. It's a precious throwaway. A precious Dixie cup. It's a whisper, a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye, another thought, a stance. Infinitely large, infinitely small. Is there one of us here? Are there many of us? Both? Neither? All of the above? What an incredible space of consciousness to speak into. I can see Joseph's addiction. So sweet. So much pain. But so much joy. So much joy. Isn't it far out that you can be among a group of people who can be in such pain and be getting joy from it?
Reverse the cassette at this point. Reverse the cassette at this point.
Isn't it far out that you can be among a group of people who can be in such pain and be getting joy from it? All I can offer you is me. I can only offer what I am. I can only offer a resonance with that place in you where there's only one of us, and even that one has no form. I can only be a reminder that everywhere you are, I am. I spent six years with my guru off and on. Mostly off, but when I was there a few times. And there was nowhere where I looked where he wasn't. And there was nowhere I looked where he was. And here we still are together. And he's a method. And every method is a trap. And for the trap to work, you must be entrapped. And you can only hope that it self-destructs. Otherwise, you just end up a dry old meditator. Or just a guru chaser, or a righteous yogi, and it's not enough. You just got frozen in midstream. This isn't outside of the marketplace, Barry. This is the marketplace. You must see that by now. I spent days here totally fascinated with all of the subtle psychodynamics of which cup is placed where, when. I once did a whole Zen retreat following Leonard Cohen around running in the dark because he was the next guy in line and he never put his sneakers on right. Tell me that is in the marketplace? There's no escape. This is no escape. This is the tracks at Rocky Flats, I'll tell you. Right here. Right over, right here on Pleasant Street. You can't get away. Quiet the screaming trumpets of the judging mind, then you hear, and what you hear includes the forms, the methods, the sadhana, the manifestations, the way it all comes out. And you listen and you appreciate your creation. You appreciate the perfection of the predicament you are in, and you see how every form in the universe is interacting with every other one, and you are the center, just as every other part is also the center. And that the slightest flicker of your finger resonates in all places. The more aware you become, the more you see that that awareness starts to temper the expression until the manifestation is Dharma itself. It has been surrender that is no surrender. And you have become Dharma, and all you have is following the Guru, deepening the compassion, deepening the emptiness. That's what you are. And yet you are totally unique in your manifestation. You're just who you were before, except you're not. And thus you are more than ever. For me, the play is just opening up to appreciate my divinity and my humanity, and my humanity and my divinity, and be fully alive, and just be what I am. I feel so free in form. I kept confusing it and thinking the freedom had something to do with getting rid of the form. It took so long to start to hear that it was the clinging to the form that was the root of suffering. Back to Deer Park 10. 4, I guess. 2. Oh dear, so nice. How can I help you? I shouldn't just go on like this, isn't it? Yeah. If anybody's suffering, let me know. If I can help them. Really. Some things become very real at moments like these. Places like these. Hallowed Hall. The image I had this afternoon meditating with a staff, and again this evening in this incredible space, is like dolphins swimming and diving in a beautiful pool that is bright in the sunlight. All these beings, all this awareness at play in form. Sitting in a room like this is like God looking at itself. He grace of our being together under these conditions, whole civilizations have risen and fallen, never being able to provide this. And who knows how long this minute lasts. And yet just standing just beyond minutes, how perfect it all is. I, like you, I'm sort of a high adventurer, just like you all are. Meaning we like to scare ourselves. And we all figured out that climbing the Matterhorn is nothing like sitting at Barry. And we are all adventurers of the most excessive sort. In our greed for the ultimate trip. And the stark horror with which we look at what we see. Like a meeting of the Explorers Club. Found any good entrapments lately? Who do you think you are today? Really hurts, doesn't it? Making progress? How do you do? I'm Sam. Hello, making progress. Who are you? I'm not getting anywhere. Oh. That's interesting. Who gave you that name? Ancient saint. Oh, God. You meet somebody that's like a dried up prune, you say, what's your name? They say, Ananda. And you wonder at the black humor of it all. Somebody knows something I don't. I hope. What happens, Joseph? Oh, dear. We have to take ourselves seriously. I mean, I'm sure there is a reason we were supposed to grow up. We can't be children. This is not play. The bomb may fall. People are suffering. There's a statement that Gandhi makes, which is, it's written over his tomb, it says, think of the poorest person you've ever known and ask whether your next act will be of any use to him. It's one of my mantras that I play with. Last year I found myself in Marin County at a nude beach. You don't have to visualize this if it's too at a nude beach, running in the sand. We had found clay, a bank, and we had covered ourselves with clay. So I had caked clay, running in the sand, naked in the beach, throwing a frisbee. And as I was about to throw the frisbee, through my mind went, think of the poorest person you've ever known and ask whether your next act will be of any use. Do you throw the frisbee or don't you? Nowhere to stand. Gandhi has another line, live simply that others might simply live. I think of that when I'm driving my MG. It's interesting to open to all of the thoughts as they arise and pass away, and they are all coming from different planes. And you either throw the frisbee or you don't. It does and it doesn't. To say it does is to go astray. To say it doesn't is to go astray. You can't solve the problem with the mind, with the intellect. What trust, what faith to conceive of this possibility that you don't have to protect yourself from yourself. One person to throw the frisbee would be an uncompassionate act. For another person to not throw the frisbee would be an uncompassionate act. If your goal is really to alleviate suffering at its root cause, if you just want to get rid of symptoms, don't throw the frisbee. Monk was dying and he hadn't yet written his death poem, and his student said, "Hurry, write your death poem before you die." And he said, oh my emptiness, I haven't written my death poem. And he grabbed his brush and he calligraphied madly and died. And the poem, loosely translated, birth is thus, death is thus, verse or no verse, what's the fun? I was doing standing meditation on the corner of 48th and 1st Avenue on June 12th. There were 700,000 of us doing the same thing. And I stood in meditation from 9:15 till 20 past 1 at the same spot on 48th and 1st before the march moved. And to my left was a dentist from New Jersey, and in front of me was a nun from Dubuque, and to my right was a hippie who had thumbed in from California. etc., etc. And there we all were, just with a ground we could stand on. We couldn't move, sit down, dance, go to the bathroom, anything. And I felt this incredible collective sense of contentment, of an intuitive sense of the rightness of the moment, of everybody feeling privileged to be present. What about this moment? Fatigue, boredom, pain, sleepiness, whatever. The privilege of being present in this moment. Intuitive sense of rightness. Intuitive sense of rightness. You imagine being an environment such that when you walk down the street, everybody that sees you feels at home. That you're an environment that would allow everybody to feel safe, feel loved, feel protected. Feel trusted, feel beautiful, feel they had a right to exist, if they chose to. You and I are environments for each other. We're the soil in which the flowers around us grow. Just keep your soil, keep yourself moist. Fertilized, soft, open, pliable, present, clear. And then just, it's amazing, like you live in a, it's like you live in a world in which flowers are blooming all around you, everywhere you look. What grace I must have that everywhere I am, flowers bloom. I am a lover. Everywhere I look, I see my beloved. What grace. What incredible grace. I love you so much. So much.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.